Great to have you here at Rosewood Church. My name is Austin Vondracek, and I'm the pastor here at Rosewood to address something that a number of you have already brought up with me. Yes, I do know how to tuck a shirt in. And to answer your next question, no, you won't see this happen again until Easter. So get used to it now. Won't happen again. No, I'm so happy to have you here. It is one of the most wonderful times of the year. Some would say the most wonderful time of the year. And if you've been around here at Rosewood this month and in Advent and through December, we've been looking at you know, just this reality that all people needed Jesus. All people needed Christmas. However, there were so many people who actually weren't excited for it, who didn't feel that they needed it, who didn't want Jesus, who didn't want Christmas. The world needs Christmas, but as it turns out, God needs Christmas too. Christmas didn't start, as we typically think of it, with a young couple having a baby. Christmas actually started long before that with an old couple who were wondering if they would have a baby. And Christmas is another step in God's unfolding plan for the world. See, again, the story doesn't begin here. The story of Christmas doesn't begin in Matthew or Luke or any of the Gospels. The story begins further back in Genesis. And we see as we work from Genesis all the way through Scripture, even in all the way into today, that God's unfolding plan of redemption is like, it's kind of cone-shaped, where it began small. And with time, it widened out further and further and further as God's plan unfolded. You see, God began with one man. His name was Abraham. And he said to Abraham, through you, the whole world would be blessed, because apparently it was important to God that the world be blessed. And so he said, through you, the world would be blessed. Now, Abraham, being very advanced in years, and his wife Sarah as well, they couldn't have any kids. So when he hears this, they both wonder, how could this possibly be true? We have no children. Our lineage is done with us. How will we bless the world? How will the world be blessed through us if nothing has come from us? And as a miracle, they conceive, they have a child, they have children. And God's plan, which began with one man, now includes a family. And that family grows and has kids, and their kids' kids have kids. And it continues to grow until eventually there were 12 tribes, 12 children that became 12 tribes. And those tribes became a nation. Now God doesn't just have a man. He doesn't just have a family. He doesn't just have tribes. God has a nation. And it's within that nation that Jesus is born. It's within that nation that Jesus enters the scene. And as it begins with Jesus, he's born into a nation, and his first responsibility is towards and for this nation. But as his message continues, as he continues to preach, and eventually as the Holy Spirit enters the scene in a more impactful way in the book of Acts, eventually we see that now the scope doesn't just include a nation, but rather that the nation exists for the world to demonstrate God's love to the entire world. The world needs Christmas, but God needed Christmas too. God needed to do something he had never done before in order to reach people who had never been reached before. Now, God had this thought. And if you're a parent here, you've had this thought. And if you're not a parent here, that's fine, because your parents or one of your parents or the people who raised you, they have had this thought, the same thought that God had. They had this thought. They said, this is what pops in their mind of parents. You've heard it before. You've said it. You've talked to your spouse about it. This is something that you've said. I sure wish my kids understood how much I love them. I sure wish my kids understood how much I love them. I sure wish my kids understood that when I said yes and no and created certain boundaries, I wish they understood that I make those decisions in order to protect them, I wish my kids didn't think I stayed up all night trying to think of creative punishments in order to make their life miserable. I sure wish my kids understood how much I love them, because if they only knew how much I love them, they would trust me. If only they could see themselves like I see them. So how does God the Father demonstrate his love to his children? The way God communicated how much he loved his world is by what we call today Christmas. Jesus has arrived. And we're going to be looking at Galatians 4. It's a New Testament book, and beginning in Galatians 4, it says, but when the set time had fully come. So in other words, when God had things exactly as he wanted them, when God was ready, when the world was ready, which is wild, because when the set time had fully come was a very interesting time in history. At that time, the Romans had taken over so much of the known world, including this little region to the east of the Mediterranean Sea that we now call Israel, but in that time, Jesus called home. The Romans have taken over, and with their brutality and their heavy taxes, they had oppressed everyone whom they ruled over. Getting a little more specific, in Jerusalem, within the temple, the temple practices, the sacrificial system, which God had instructed and given to his people as a way of atonement for their sins, that those who were involved in the temple had traded in their sense of compassion and mercy for money. For bribery. Compassion was out the window. Instead, it was, what can I get? How can I take advantage of the system? The religious rulers, the Pharisees. The Pharisees had twisted faith into something that was so works heavy that people were faced with this reality of, I could never know a good and perfect God. And even if I could, he would never love me. An imperfect, bad, sinful person. Morality was fluid. You look at this world today, sometimes I hear people talk about how just broken and absolutely gone this world is, that it's never been this bad. Oh, please, this world today is paradise compared to the fluid morality of that time. And somehow this chaos, this set time, was what God was waiting for all along. And then he took his next step. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son. When the world was ready, according to God, God made the next big move. The Christmas question that we all have, and we all should ask, and maybe some of you asked before and you never really knew the answer, or you couldn't figure it out. The Christmas question that we wrestle with, and that we're going to wrestle with tonight, just even very briefly together. Why did God have to send Jesus? Why did he have to do it the way he did it? Why did God have to come? Why did he have to go to such great lengths? I mean, couldn't he send another messenger? Couldn't he have done something he had done before? Couldn't he reach out to his people in the ways that he had done before? And not only that, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. God didn't just show up like an angel that manifests out of nothing, but he was born. He was born into a historic context. He was born into history. He was born to a family. There's really nothing shocking about that. Nothing awe-inspiring. Nothing attention-grabbing. But God came in the form of a baby, just like every one of you. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. So why did God need Christmas? Why did God send his son? What is the answer to the Christmas question? Why was Jesus born? Because God needed to do what the law couldn't do. because God needed to do what prophets and messengers could not do. He needed to do what government and rulers couldn't do. He needed to do what punishments couldn't do. He needed to do what the temple and sacred symbols had not been able to do. God was ready at a given time, a set time, to do something personal. And in order to do something personal, God had to do something relational. A messenger wouldn't get it done. He had to do it himself. God needed Christmas. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption as his very own children. God took away all the barriers that prevent someone from having a relationship with God. Nothing stood in the way, not the law, not the temple, not any individual with their own sets of rules, not where you were born, not your socioeconomic status, nothing. God took away all the barriers, and he had to do something that would change the world because something new was coming. And Jesus certainly did change the world. I mean, think about this. 4,000 years ago, God makes a promise to Abraham, to one man. 2,000 years after that, Jesus is born. And 2,000 years after that, we still can't stop talking about it. So much has happened. Think about this. So much has happened in the last 2,000 years. Important people have come and gone. Important events have come and gone. So much has happened in this world in the last 2,000 years. Right? If your knowledge and my knowledge, in fact, our collective knowledge of the last 2,000 years and everything that happened in it is literally a drop in the ocean. Yet, the baby born into a young Jewish family in the armpit of the Roman Empire is now a household name. I bet you've never even met someone who hasn't heard the name of Jesus. Most people have heard the name of Jesus. In fact, when the reading and the light came on, some kid yelled, "Jesus!" They get it. We get it. Whether you believe that he was God or not, the reality is that we've all heard of him. He's a household name. God needed Christmas because God's unfolding plan to widen the scope of his blessings, beginning with Abraham, could only be accomplished by a dramatic personal action. Not a message, not a symbol, not another law, not another prophet, not another messenger, not a larger temple, a baby. And that baby would grow into a man and would give his life as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. And there is no such thing as love without sacrifice. And the new that God had in store through the greatest act of love that God could ever demonstrate would demand the greatest act of sacrifice that God could ever offer, the death of himself. And the baby we celebrate Christmas morning was the gift that God the Father needed to offer to tell his children, "This is how much I love you." But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption as his very own children. The time has come. Jesus is born. God's plan has advanced, and you are included. Jesus, we thank you for this gift that we celebrate, a gift that unimaginable how difficult that would have been for you, God, a father or a parent to offer their child in such a way. God, we thank you that you are Emmanuel, that you are God with us, that you love us. God, your act of love is something that has literally gone down in the history books. that will never be forgotten. God, we thank you for the gift of your Son that we celebrate tonight. Jesus, help us to maintain the meaning for why we gather, why we do this, why we get together with family, why we gather around a tree. All of that, Jesus, in the midst of all these things that have been tacked on and turned around and all that on Christmas, God, help us to remember most important on Christmas that God, this is your offering to us. Because you loved us so much, you wanted to show us how much you loved us by giving us your Son. Jesus, you've been born, and it changes everything. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.